Welcome to Front Range Facts. This is Anthony Meisner.
And this is Jim Marion.
We're going to get into our national update here for you.
Yeah, we love this quote from the chief economist of First American Title. When the economic uncertainty dust settles, these buyers and sellers who are on the sidelines are going to jump back into the housing game. Demographic trends support elevated purchase demand in the years to come. So it's a question of when, not if, for the housing market. And I think what, you know, this was why I really love this quote, is it kind of has summed up the thesis Anthony and I have been pounded into your heads for the last few years, you know, regarding this market. The demographics are destiny, and it is going to be one of these things that is going to continue to keep prices at a steady pace of sales and growth. It may be more moderate and that therefore more healthy over time, but it's one of these things that is inevitable, really, essentially, with the fact there's not enough houses for sale and a lot of buyer demand.
Okay, so here's where the market's really changing, mm-hmm. and you all know this because you hear it in the media, but we wanted to show you some actual facts about interest rates. This is from the beginning of the year to current. So we started the year at 3.2% interest rate. It was ultra low, and here we are rising to 6.7 last year.
Yeah, that's a doubling for you folks at home without calculators handy.
So don't forget, I mean, what's your other option? Your other option in buying a house is to rent a house.
What would that look like, Anthony? Oh my God, look at that. So good luck with that plan.
So here, well, basically what Jim and I really wanted to reiterate here, even though this is the most absurd two charts, they mirror each other so well, is the fact that it may seem like it's really bad time to buy a house, but it is not, in fact, bad because because rental rates are going to climb probably faster than the purchase price rates. Yeah. So that being said, be prepared for rents to go up if you're renting currently, and get out there in the housing market now if you can weather that payment, because interest rates will come down eventually, right?
Well, when I was helping my dad in the 80s doing some open houses, I can tell you people did show up to those, and the interest rates back then were up to 16-18%. So the market is still going to have to buy and sell homes no matter what, and it sure beats the doing the rental game, isn't it, Anthony?
It really does, yeah.
So here we've got another quote that I like from Deputy Chief Economist of First American, and you know, essentially, the aim of the Fed is tightening to curtail demand to tame inflation. You know, inflation, obviously, everyone knows, has been pretty rampant. The Fed's actions are obviously trying to reduce that inflation by, you know, increasing interest rates. So therefore, the home sales, both new and existing, are falling, because we are usually in real estate at the tip of the spear when it comes to a downturn in the economy, and we're the quickest to recover. And so builders have cut back production in response to rapidly declining affordability, and home price growth now has slowed from nearly 21% to 16.7 in July. That's healthy stuff. We're good. We want that to happen, because it has been very, very unhealthy the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has. And it just really goes to show you how cyclical these markets are, right? So what else we got here? Let's talk a little bit more about interest rates, and then we'll dive into some more stats.
Yeah, so as you know, we've kind of forecast over the last few months with interest rates, expect them to continue to rise. That is what the whole point of the Fed is about, is increasing those until they tame inflation, and then you're going to see a taper off and drop sometime in the second half of next year, 2023. So this quote says basically mortgage rates are expected to continue to drift higher over the coming months, but much of the rapid increase in rates is likely behind us. So we did rapidly, as you saw a few slides back, we've doubled in 6 months. We don't expect there to be a 9% interest rate increase up to 10% or anything like that. So nationally, while month-to-month house prices may decline, annual house prices are not expected given the ongoing supply-demand imbalance and continued strength in the labor market. So it's going to be kind of a soft landing.
So what that means for supply and demand ratios and the quick changing is that obviously interest rates affect showings first, right? The amount of homes that can go under contract then follow from there. But what's happening is the active listings on the market have really not increased nearly as much as you would think, with cost of money being about twice what it was previously this year.
Well, and a lot of that function of the active listings is just the fact that there is less demand. It's not an increase in actual inventory, right? It's just taking, instead of 0.3 months to sell, it's taking 2 months now to sell. So that inventory is just simply sitting there a little bit longer, but there's not a lot of new stuff joining that at all.
Yeah, and we'll definitely dive into that a little bit later, especially here at the local levels. Mm-hmm. This is one that, you know, we talked about a little bit every single time, but we really want to know like what's for the housing market next year. And here's what all the major economists have been saying around the country, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, MBA, all these guys, right? And Zelman, this is the one who has called some of the last recent peaks and valleys in the market. But really between the average of all these economists, they're talking about housing prices increasing 1.8% for the year of 2023. So a little bit of a forecast there. We're going to show that flattening market. Yeah. That's exactly what the Fed wanted to create. So that's what we're getting.
And just a reminder, this is national, you know, right. National appreciation. We do expect Colorado to be in the 4% or so appreciation next year.
Yeah, so let's get into 2024, 2025, 2026.
Yeah, I think this is important, Anthony, because, you know, like when a lot of people are looking at, you know, do I buy a house now? Is the, you know, market going to fall? Am I going to be, you know, better off waiting a couple years? Well, you know, again, we do expect interest rates to rise for the next 12 months, essentially. So, you know, is it in your best interest to wait those 12 months out if interest rates drop down again? Well, 86% of forecasters feel that prices are going to be up in 2024. 91.5% think in 2025 prices are going to be up. And then most everybody with any thinking brain thinks in 2026 prices are going to be up as well. So, you know, you have every year, 2023, which we just showed you, plus all the way to 2026, prices are going to rise. And interest rates in the next 12 months are still going to be high. So there really doesn't seem to be much of a good argument for the fact that, hey, let's sit and wait this thing out, because you can easily refinance later on, but you can't get in at the price you're going to get in at, you know, now later on, because those prices are going up every year.
So this next slide says the one thing that all wise old investors tell us. They say, time makes good investors of any of us. And this really shows why in real estate, because it's absurd how much the price changes have changed since 1991.
Yes.
So this is across the country. You can really see just the impacts, especially through COVID, of what's happened over in the West, in Florida, in some of these other places like DC. Obviously, people have been leaving the Midwest, and we've been seeing it for years, and that's really keeping prices pretty low. But Colorado's up almost 600%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these numbers are just out of control since 1991. So I really don't think that buying today is a bad thing when you look at this from any longevity of the situation.
No, and you know, I think one thing that you know, is missing from this slide is just the fact that it's one of these things that I've kept an eye on for years. And it's Colorado's been very steady throughout that time. Essentially, it's been number one in the list of states. DC for years was the only one beating it out. What we're seeing now, a bit of is a COVID effect. Utah was always about 100% less than us. They've now leapt ahead. So there might be some overheating in that market because they've leapt so far ahead. Same with Montana, Idaho.
Oregon,
I think, you know,
right.
Yeah, there's been some, you know, definitely acceleration there just through COVID. And Florida too, with that 422% increase in price, you know, there is probably some, you know, overzealous purchasing through COVID that happened. It'll be interesting to see whether the trend continues or now that people are starting to have to work in offices again. You know, anecdotically, I've heard that a lot of people are trying to get out of Montana now because their jobs don't allow them to work remotely anymore, and so the market there is softening quicker than expected. But you know,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so this is amazing. Essentially, what we're talking about here is the amount of money that we've all got as homeowners in our retirement savings, essentially. So U.S. households own $41 trillion in owner-occupied real estate. That's owner-occupied.
Right, that's not housing.
That's not just, you know, rentals. This is, so just over $12 trillion in debt. So the remaining is about $29 trillion in equity. This is incredible. So the, you know, U.S. population of homeowners is sitting on $29 trillion in combined equity. So the national loan-to-value in Q2 2022 was 29.5%. So that is the amount that, the, you know, if you balance everybody out, 29.5% of mortgages are what's owed. The rest is what's owned. So that's the lowest level since 1983. They have $320,000 in inflation-adjusted equity in their homes, which is an all-time high. So people who are homeowners are sitting on a very comfortable amount of equity, even if the market does do a slight correction.
Absolutely. And a lot of that's come over the last 12 months. You can see it here, or over the last 24 months. And that's why some of these markets feel like they've inflated a lot. But California up $117,000 for a house, leading the charge there.
Yeah.
That is pretty incredible to see.
And Florida, $100,000 too. I mean, you know, that's Florida's a much cheaper state than either Hawaii or California to live in. So to see 100K appreciation there is just mind blowing. And that's too, like, you know, as I tell my clients in Colorado, like, you know, hey, even if the market goes down a little bit, look, you made $76,000 in the last 12 months on average on your home. does it matter if it goes down 1% or something like that? Not really.
Exactly. You know? And the reason that it's not going to go down is because of our premise of, you know, underbuilding for over a decade now. And you can really see it here in the change in inventory levels. Even though we have these rising interest rates and the markets feel very different, well, in September, month over month, Colorado actually lost inventory.
This, you know, there's so much news, these headlines online, like, you know, all this stuff about how bad the market is. But here's the facts, folks. This is like one of the most eye-opening slides in our whole deck here today. It's just as far as a pulse on the market. There isn't much at all, whether you're looking at the blue or the yellow here, the amount of change is within this single percent, under, you know, 3% for most of this market, whether it's plus or minus.
This is basically saying that the climate here in the United States is very moderate, and it's going to stay that way until you really start to see some major increases in inventory levels. Yeah. It's a fall seasonal market right now. You'll probably see this slide change next month with even more negative inventory levels, because into October and November, December, that's traditionally the trajectory, right? Yeah. So as we see the seasonality take place, we're not seeing massive rises in inventory. We just don't see it. So that's keeping our market in a really reasonable place right now, and that's a good sign. What that means for sales, though, is that means for sales are going down in some amount, right? We're talking about...
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable, right? And a lot of that is largely due to the cost of money right now. But you can see, because we've been in such an inventory shortage in January, February, even when interest rates were really good, we were pretty close to last year, but we're still short of last year.
Glass. Could you pull up the
Let's...
So Anthony's going to pull up a magnifying glass really quick here. I wanted to go over to the June... just to show you. So this is really where, you know, interest rates rose in May, right? So sales closed in June. So if you just pull away from that for a second, Anthony, you can clearly see that every month before interest rates were even a factor, we were down in sales from 2021 because of the fact that we had less to sell. We had less to sell. And when you see then right here, the effect of interest rates, well, this is essentially about 50,000 homes nationwide. You can argue were affected by interest rates. Maybe they fell out of contract because the price of money became too high. Maybe someone got skittish because of all the news of gloom and doom. But there's 50 states in the United States. There's 50,000 homes roughly that have fallen out of contract or didn't, you know, sell for whatever reason. So you have about 1,000 homes in every state that were affected in some way, shape, or form by interest rates. Is that a lot? No, that's not.
It's not a lot, no. So that's part of our argument here as to why the robustness of the real estate environment is going to stay strong through the next few years. Now, one of the bigger things that we wanted to talk about is just why the inventory situation is so low and why a rise in inventory is not such a bad thing, because 2% in June, and it looks like the July and August numbers are pretty well flat, but look at this. Over the last 12 months, we have been seeing just a huge decrease in inventory. I mean, we were scraping the bottom
outside
of the barrel
of any interest rates,
right?
We were already suffering through this. So, you know, it's not a surprise. And Anthony and I were all year, at the beginning of the year, we were saying we're not expecting sales to be as good as it was last year for this reason alone.
There's nothing else to buy and sell here. So especially when you get into some of these more local markets like Colorado, it just gets even more extreme.
Yeah.
That being said, that's our national update. We're going to get into our local Colorado markets and some of the Front Range markets here next. I'm Anthony with Land Title. You can always reach me on my cell phone if you have questions at 303-968-9868 or ameisner@ltgc.com.
And I'm Jim Marion, realtor here at Coldwell Banker. You can call me at 303-548-0243 or shoot me an email to jim@ourcoloradohomes.com. And we just went through the national news, and now we're heading over to the statewide, and then we're going to take a look at some of the local trends as well.
All right, so on the statewide trends, here are showing traffic. Well, the big thing is showings have fallen off quite a bit this year, but sales don't seem to be down nearly what showings are, right? We're almost 50% off of last year for total showings at this point, but it seems like everybody out there shopping is very serious, right, Jim?
And I think, you know, look at how stable that gold line is. Yes, you know, it's lower than the other years, but the stability of it really helps to speak to the fact that the people who are out looking at homes now are serious about buying homes. There isn't people really just dipping their toes in the water. You know, the sales have been staying steady enough. The showing traffic is down a lot, but it's mainly just a function of the fact that we're having just less people, but, you know, still really good expectations for the showings that happen.
So if we get into the actual market stats for the state of Colorado and how the showings are affecting that, you can really see here over the year-to-date numbers that prices are still soaring in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see 10% up on averages. The median's up 14% so far year-to-date. The big change is that affordability of the market has gone down significantly. So you can see 33% drop in the affordability. It's now a 50 on the affordability index. 100 was kind of like their baseline. So it's half as affordable as I would say national economists would like it to be.
Which is part of that unhealthiness we're trying to get out of the market. And overall, we think long-term is going to be beneficial to everybody involved.
Here's the thing. Don't be scared about the inventory levels. We talk about 2.2 months of inventory. This is still a seller's market, as much as people not believe that sometimes if they're fighting in the market. There's just not a lot of buyers and not a lot of sellers out there in the market. So 2.5 or 2.2 months of inventory, maybe 70% above where it was last year at this time. But truly, this is still a really, really healthy, strong
market. And you know, the advice that we could give to, you know, realtors out there and home sellers out there is, you know, it's not a function of price. You don't need to drop your pants every 2 weeks and lower your price because you're not getting what you want. You should be very cautious, very sensible about any kind of price improvement, because really it's not about the price. It's about market skittishness. It's about increased cost. You just need to be old school with your techniques and wait these things out and just expect it's going to happen over time, but it's going to take a little bit longer for that to mature.
Yeah, so when we get into the condo townhouse market, it's even more extreme, still in an inventory shortage, having a lot of issues there where the average price is up 14%. We only have 1.5 months of inventory, so a whole 6 weeks of it. That's exciting. And we still feel like we're in the same game. Now, we're seeing a lot of, you know, the contingencies in the market. This market's not slowing as much, right? Mm-hmm. We're not having as many bidding wars, but we're still at 99% listed sale price statewide. This is statewide, so it's everything from Grand Junction all the way up and down the Front Range, right? And that being said, this is still a really strong, healthy fall market. Last year was bananas, right? Yes. So we can't really compare it to that, even though that's our most recent comparison. That's our standard. It's what we do. Now, when you get into some historical trends, that's why we put these in there recently, is you can see that as inventory continues to increase a little bit, and here we are in a fall seasonal change, that we are nowhere near anything that is concerning, because 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 are all even a little bit higher than where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you can kind of see year over year, the last 2 years were abnormally low years, right? And as far back as this graph goes, 2010, 2011, those were abnormally high years because of the Great Recession and the amount of foreclosures that came on the market. So that being said, we're just kind of getting back to normal, right?
Yeah, we've seen a bit more of a spike more in the single family than in the townhomes, condos, but townhomes and condos are always very steady. There's not just a lot of inventory ever in that. We're more of a single family market. And this is now reflected a little bit in the fact that we have jumped up a bit, but it's still way below any kind of cost or concern as a seller.
Absolutely. So new listings coming to market, how are the sellers reacting to these rising interest rates? Well, they're not doing much different than any other year. They're slowing a little bit, but in all reality, look at that. This is just seasonal.
So each of those green bars is a year, right? 2020, 2021, 2022. Same with the blue bars right adjacent to it. So you're looking at 3 years of trends, and look at how flat, how similar year over year those numbers really look in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely. So let's get to days on market. And this is one where how fast are houses turning over? I think the important thing to remember is we've been the pace of the market has been so fast for the last few years that here we are at 37 days on the single family market for September. We were at 28 days last year, but we are generally at 40 to 60 days kind of this time of year. We are just kind of getting back to normal and we're still recovering, right? The speed of the market is just hyper fast still. So expect that to continue to rise seasonally through the end of the year. But then I would assume next year might be a little bit higher than what we saw this year as well, because we actually might have some inventory.
Getting back to like 2019 levels is kind of where things are starting to head, and you know, some of the metrics are already there.
It'd be great if you were working with a buyer and you could figure out, you know, go actually shop and look at a few houses before you have to write an offer.
It's fantastic.
Right? It would be brilliant. So for a seller, definitely no reason to panic. And if your house is on the market, it's really not that big of a deal, right? Now the percentage listed sale price, this is where the extremes in the market have really come in and out. You can see here that we're getting back to our normal fall market levels. You can see that that 98% range was a lot lower than what is last year, but it's right in line. Well, I mean, basically since 2015 to current, right?
Yeah, so, no, you know, we're right now right where 2015 to 2019 really were with the percent of list of, you know, we're basically, you know, 99% of asking price in the townhome condo market. We're at 98.6% on the single family. That's all well and good. That's well within historics.
And it's really, really traditional fall season of orange, right?
Because, like, so what were we, 107%, 108% at one point early in the year?
I mean, April was insane like that. Yeah. So that's never a good sign. Let's talk a little bit about our lender report and just kind of what this looks like. Realistically, people talk to us all the time about, oh, what's going to happen with the short sales and the, you know, foreclosure markets and everything. These metrics really tell us everything. Last year, there were four short sales.
Yeah.
Four people in the entire state of Colorado screwed up so bad that they defaulted on a loan and it didn't go to foreclosure.
Yeah.
There's one right now. So that being said, they're non-existent, right? Yeah. And I've been watching the foreclosure metrics. We put out something at Land Title all the time about it, and they have barely increased, right?
It's the easiest report to write.
The NED list is like 40 homes of people they got a foreclosure notice slapped on their door saying, in 90 days, if you don't cure this, we're going to foreclose on your home. 40 people in a week, right? Like, there's how many millions of people in the state? Like, it's absurd.
Well, I mean, the average loan to value nationwide is 29.5%. That means that there's quite a bit of equity in most of those homes that are distressed, which is why you're seeing that these recoveries occur, where people can cure that notice they get, you know, with that 90-day notice, because they do like a home equity loan or they decide to sell and suddenly the problem's cured.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Anthony with Land Title. We're going to get into local markets next, but if you need to reach me, I'm 303-968-9868 or ameisner@ltgc.com.
And I'm Jim Marion, realtor here at Coldwell Banker. My phone number 303-548-0243 or jim@ourcoloradohomes.com.
All right, let's get into the Denver metro market. As you can see, this largely resembles what's going on in Colorado. A little less extreme, but inventory is definitely plateauing already.
Green's the active, and then pending's blue, and red is sold.
But what you can see is the seasonal change in the fall, where our under contracts are finally going down, and they're going down quickly again. So this is not necessarily a rising interest rate problem. This is a seasonal problem. Mm-hmm. It happens every fall, where we really see the pendings go down. They went down 17% last month, though, and inventory stayed pretty stable. So that being said, you know, we basically have through about Thanksgiving to really get some houses sold before buyers just kind of stop looking over the holidays. Yeah. And you guys know that. That's pretty traditional. But that being said, here's where we are. We're really similar to kind of where we started the year in 2020. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about month supply, because month supply is where we really gauge, you know, how much inventory is on the market. We're talking about 1.6 months. We're talking about six, seven weeks of inventory. You know, if that's all the inventory that's available, we're still in a major supply shortage.
Yeah.
And now, because of interest rates and because of all the economic uncertainty, builders stop building again, right? Brings us right back to our premise. And we see this across the Front Range all the time. And you're seeing this across all the markets. So as we kind of get into those local markets, watch the inventory levels, but we're definitely lower than the Colorado levels. 2.2 was Colorado levels. Here in the metro area is 1.6.
Well, you know, we're you know, think of, like, you know, right around when, you know, COVID was, it was starting to happen, and we're kind of at that inventory levels, you know, right before that whole thing started. And the fact of the matter is this balanced market is roughly 6 months of inventory. So even if we do have another 4.7% month over month increase like we did this one, there's a lot of room to go before we have any kind of challenges as a seller. And we're going to continue to see challenges as a buyer.
Absolutely. And the speed of the market is really similar to what's going on in Colorado, but obviously a lot faster, because the bulk of the demand and the bulk of the people moving to Colorado moved to the Front Range, especially in the Denver metro area. 25 days from active to under contract in Denver metro right now. And that just goes to show you how fast this market is and how much demand, even despite rising interest rates and economic uncertainty. Yeah. It's not going to slow the Colorado real estate market nearly as much.
It gives us a little time to maybe see a home 2 weeks in a row, the same home, just to, you know, make sure that's the right fit. But that's about it. You know, you have a second chance. You can maybe take a look at it, but not much other dwelling.
From your perspective, that actually could be largely helpful.
It's super nice. It's really nice. It is.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about price points and where we're seeing the interest rates affect the market.
This is a fascinating slide in some ways, because there's such a dichotomy, you know, halfway up the pricing, basically, where a light switch flips. And so, you know, as you can kind of see when we're looking over at the red column, the change year over year in sold by price range When you look at that under $600,000 price point, you're in the 30 to 40 percentile for drop in sell by price range. And a lot of that's a function of the fact that, you know, we had a $76,000 increase statewide in prices, I think, right, Anthony, last year?
Yeah, you can really see that the bulk of the prices now of homes in the area are from 6 to 800, and 6 to 800 is pretty flat.
So, I mean, 741 is the 741 is the average sale price, right?
741 is the average sales price, so it's right in that band. Yeah. But there's still so many homes under 600,000, and man, if money gets expensive, that really affects the bottom of the market, and that's a lot of where you're seeing the separation come into.
They're the ones that are the most price conscious, but then when you look at the higher end, it's gangbuster stuff.
Well, and here's largely why the price appreciation still continues to happen at that bottom level. We're still under a month of inventory, or around a month of inventory under 500,000, and homes are still moving, you know, around that average range. The interesting part to me about our days on market here, when you look by price range, is they're all pretty similar. Yeah. 3+ million all the way to 300,000. We're at 20 some days, right? I mean, it's just really, really impressive to see the luxury market still moving as fast as the not luxury market. Now, luxury has had quite a bit more inventory come on the market and stay on the market, yeah. But it's because so much is selling that attractiveness of that market is making.
Well, and as you were pointing out, like the 3 million price point is the only one that's a balanced market. It has over 6 months of inventory at 6.22. And, you know, what's interesting is just the fact that, let me go to this. What is it, just clicking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can't go back to the last slide.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was just going to show that, you know, prices are still going up, you know, even in that end of the market, because of the fact that there just isn't a lot of choices. So, you know, what's there is very valued.
Yeah, and you can really see it here when we go into the percentage sold price to list price. There's this nice little table that my head's in the way of. But essentially, you can see that the bidding wars don't really stop. You know, that 600 to 800 range is obviously the highest, along with 500 to 600, where that's kind of where our median kind of falls through. But all the way up to 2-3 million. Yeah. I mean, we still have a really active market, right? Yeah. You still see 98% listed sale price numbers, 97% even at 2 million plus. So that being said, lots of health in the market. We're getting back to those normal seasonal trends, right?
Well, it gives buyers a little more satisfaction knowing they got a little bit of something off the price.
You know, if you needed a furnace now, you're actually going to get it. Yeah. You're not going to have to bring that yourself when you move in.
Well, I just feel like, you know, I bought a truck a year ago and I had to go to Wyoming to do so, and I got 3,000 off MSRP. I felt like a rock star.
I bet you did.
And so
yeah. That's right where we're at right now in housing.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
You feel great.
All right, well, let's get into the rest of the Colorado markets. I'm Anthony at Land Title. You can always reach me at 303-968-9868 or amisner@ltgc.com.
And I'm Jim Marion, Realtor here at Coldwell Banker, 303-548-0243 or jim@ourcoloradohomes.com. So we're just going to zip through a few slides. Want to keep this nice and short for you guys.
Let's start with Boulder County. This really shows you where the average sales price median is. We're still trending down with our detached single family homes. We're chasing prices down in detached in Boulder County. The problem is we're chasing prices up in the attached market, mm-hmm. and it's making for a very interesting year. But we're nowhere near where we were last year. We're up 12% still year over year, well over $1 million for a single family home. The median's still about 800,000, and that's finally starting to settle. That looks like it's kind of getting there. Now, if we go to supply is about at our 2018 levels in Boulder County.
Yeah.
Barely above where we were last year. We're nowhere near. So expect things over the next year going to trend to those 2019 levels. And you're going to see this in Larimer and Weld as well, where we're really starting to get to that point. Now, if we look over at our demand, this shows us what our buyers are doing. Buyers are still buying, right? Mm-hmm. 335 pendings under contract last month, close to the 2018 levels. And we're kind of trending that same direction. Supply also barely rising, really similar to what we saw in the Denver metro market. Now, if we look at Weld County is in a very similar situation to Boulder. So we don't really need to cover this too much, but know that all of our friends on the Front Range are experiencing really, really similar markets. Yeah. Supply is doing the same thing, seeing seasonal trends, seasonal changes, and they're kind of moving through back to those 2018, 2019 levels. So active units are rising, new listings are getting a little bit better as well. And you can see that they're kind of trending with the same. If demand really truly was reducing, you would see home sellers slow down the amount of listings coming to market. And they haven't done that like a rising market in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at demand, you could see that same thing happened then. So we're kind of watching 2018 to see how close to those markets we come. Yeah. But for right now in the Front Range, not really the case.
Yeah.
Now, if we go to Larimer County, you can see Larimer County really similar, except prices have not adjusted as much from April to current as we saw in Weld or in Boulder. And if we go over to our active listings, same thing. It is just not rising as fast. New listings coming to market really on line with what we saw before. I would just show the health of the front range in these markets are all really similar, but it's just impressive to see how much that's changed. If you go over to our pending listings, exactly the same, right? 20, 25% off of where we were last year. The gangbuster years, right? We're kind of running into that 2019, yeah. 2018 levels, and the month supply of inventory is still under two, pretty much across the front range. Lastly, our friends down in El Paso County, never want to forget you, but they still have huge inventory shortages. They have the shortest inventory of all these markets.
Very competitive in the townhome condo market.
And the condo townhome market,
1.2. But their appreciation prices slowed down just like everywhere else a little bit. So it's getting to be healthier.
Thank you for sticking with us. We are finally wrapping up our podcast in 30 minutes.
Yes. Jim Marianne, Coldwell Banker, Realtor, 303-548-0243 or jim@allcoloradohomes.com.
Anthony Meisner with Land Title, 303-968-9868 or ameisner@ltgc.com. Don't forget, you can get us on the show at frontrangefacts@gmail.com or you can always get us on other podcasts. Get Real with Blockchain, anywhere you find your podcast.
Have a great one, folks. Good luck out there.